The Story of Our Health Message, Chapter 34, A Bold Venture in Faith. In May 1909, the General Conference was to meet in another session at Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C. The Executive Committee of the Southern California Conference and the Board of Trustees of the Loma Linda Sanitarium in Loma Linda, California, recognizing this as an opportunity for receiving counsel regarding the future work of the Loma Linda College of Evangelists, drew up a memorial address to the General Conference. They requested that the college in Loma Linda be recognized as an institution for the education and training of both nurses and physicians, and that the General Conference assist the management in arranging the curriculum and planning for the future development of the school. General Conference Committee favorable. This memorial was brought before the General Conference Committee in June, shortly after the adjournment of the session, and was acted upon a few weeks later. The committee recognized the Loma Linda Sanitarium as an important institution and having a splendid location, and that it was capable of doing a great amount of good in the development of workers. Not only should it be a sanitarium of the first class, but a training center for young people who can enter service for foreign fields. Though unable to render financial aid beyond the salary of a Bible teacher, the members of the committee were in fullest sympathy with the principles for which it, the Loma Linda Institution, stands and the work which it was believed the institution was appointed to accomplish. The Pacific Union Conference was urged to cooperate with the trustees of the sanitarium financially and to encourage young people to take training at this institution. However, before giving counsel regarding the suggested plan of making such additions to the faculty and equipment as to give 1 or 2 years of the medical course to be recognized by the large universities, the General Conference Committee asked for definite information as to what would be involved in adapting their courses of study to this purpose, and requirements of such colleges as would affiliate on this basis, and as to what such a plan would involve financially for the right kind of education. While seeking to find their way, the faculty at the College of Evangelists had encouraged those who wished to take the medical course to hope that the instruction they were receiving would count toward their graduation, either at the institution or in other medical colleges. They were now offering a 3-year course, and from time to time had added sufficient equipment to make the work equal to that given in the regular medical schools, and they hoped that it might be accepted as equivalent to the first 2 years, if it were finally decided to give no further studies at Loma Linda. In September 1909, Elder J. Burton visited St. Helena, California, and in a letter to Mrs. White set forth the details of the situation. This letter was placed in her writing room where she would find it when she arose in the morning. The following day, in an interview which was stenographically reported, she spoke very clearly and decidedly. She made it plain that those who wished to complete the medical course should find an opportunity to obtain it in its entirety in a denominational school, declaring, "We want none of that kind of higher education that will put us in a position where the credit must be given, not to the Lord God of Israel, but to the God of Ekron. The Lord designs that we shall stand as a distinct people, so connected with Him that He can work with us. Let our physicians realize that they are to depend wholly upon the true God. I felt a heavy burden this morning when I read over a letter that I found in my room, in which a plan was outlined for having medical students take some work at Loma Linda, but to get the finishing touches of their education from some worldly institution. There are some who may not be able to see that here is a test as to whether we shall put our dependence on man, or depend upon God. Shall we, by our course, seem to acknowledge that there is a stronger power with the unbelievers than there is with God's own people? When we take hold upon God, and trust in Him, He will work in our behalf. But we are to stand distinct and separate from the world. We need not tie to men in order to secure influence. We need not think that we must have their experience and their knowledge. Our God is a God of knowledge and understanding, and if we will take our position decidedly on His side, He will give us wisdom. I would that all our people might see the inconsistency of our being God's commandment-keeping people, a peculiar people zealous of good works, and yet feeling that we must copy after the world in order to make our work successful. Our God is stronger than is any human influence. If we will accept Him as our educator, if we will make Him our strength and righteousness, He will work in our behalf. A school for training physicians. In answer to specific questions by Elders J. Burden and W.C. White, Mrs. White, in this interview, stated without hesitation that we should have a school of our own to educate physicians. She also agreed that it would not be a violation of principle to secure a charter. If you can gain force and influence, she said, that will make your work more effective without tying yourselves to worldly men, that would be right. 3 weeks after this interview, the leaders of the denomination were attending the autumn session of the General Conference Committee held in College View, Nebraska. It was with serious misgivings that many faced again the inevitable discussion regarding the opening of a medical college at Loma Linda, California, as an item of the agenda. The difficulties in the way loomed as large and were seemingly as formidable as ever, but the counsel that had come from an authoritative source was now so definite that it could not be misunderstood. There were hours of discussion, but the final resolution as adopted was brief, that we recommend the Board of Management of the Loma Linda College of Evangelists to secure a charter for the school, that it may develop as the opening providences and the instruction of the Spirit of God may indicate. This recommendation soon bore fruit, for under date of December 9, 1909, a charter, secured under the laws of the State of California, authorized the College of Medical Evangelists to grant degrees in the liberal arts and sciences, dentistry, and medicine. Now that the medical missionary character of the college was made more evident, the name, it should be noted, was changed to include the word medical. Of the naming of the institution, Elder Burden relates that while they were considering this matter, Mrs. White penned the words gospel, medical, missionary, evangelist, with the remark, now I think they can understand that. As the words were studied, it was felt that College of Medical Evangelists really embraced what Mrs. White had written, the union's relation to the college. A few weeks after securing the charter, the 5th biennial session of the Pacific Union Conference was held at Mountain View, California. It soon became evident to the members of the Committee on Plans that one of the most important questions to be considered was the attitude this union conference should adopt in its relations toward the College of Medical Evangelists. They were faced with the necessity of making definite recommendations involving the future status of the school. They discussed the responsibility, financial and otherwise, which would rest upon any organization that might attempt to found and support a denominational medical college. Their perplexities are well recorded by Elder G. A. Irwin, Vice President of the General Conference, who met with the committee. The object to be gained was greatly to be desired, but the expense would be so large, and the difficulty so many, that they did not feel free to recommend the undertaking of such an enterprise, before satisfying themselves, first, that they correctly understood the instruction given in the communications received from Sister White. A letter of inquiry. In order to remove, if possible, all question regarding the import of the council through the spirit of prophecy relative to the future developments at Loma Linda, the following letter was addressed to Mrs. E. G. White and placed in her hands January 26, 1910. We have read the testimonies as far as we have seen them, that you have given concerning Loma Linda, and the establishment of a medical school in connection with the work at that place. As far as we know, our people are anxious to carry out the light that the Lord has given, but there is a difference of opinion between us in regard to what you mean when you use the term a medical school. Some hold that when you speak of a medical school, you mean a school where the Bible is made prominent, where all features of our faith are taught, and where the message is given in its fullness, in addition to which we give an outline of the treatment of simple diseases, the care of the sick, and such things as will qualify the student to go into a foreign field, or even into a city, and do intelligent medical missionary work, using his medical knowledge as a means of introducing the Bible and teaching the truth. Others hold that when you use the phrase a medical school, you mean, in addition to the foregoing, a fully equipped medical school that teaches the Bible and the truth, as before said, but that gives such a thorough training along medical lines as will qualify the students who take the course to pass state board examinations and become registered, qualified physicians for public work. We are very anxious to preserve unity and harmony of action. In order to do this, we must have a clear understanding of what is to be done. Are we to understand, from what you have written concerning the establishment of a medical school at Loma Linda, that, according to the light you have received from the Lord, we are to establish a thoroughly equipped medical school, the graduates from which will be able to take state board examinations and become registered, qualified physicians. Most respectfully yours, I. H. Evans, E. Andros, H. W. Cottrell. A reply that charted the course. Mrs. White's reply was delivered the day following the receipt of this inquiry. The light given me is, we must provide that which is essential to qualify our youth who desire to be physicians, so that they may intelligently fit themselves to be able to stand the examinations required to prove their efficiency as physicians. They should be taught to treat understandingly the cases of those who are diseased, so that the door will be closed for any sensible physician to imagine that we are not giving in our school the instruction necessary for properly qualifying young men and young women to do the work of a physician. Continually the students who are graduated are to advance in knowledge, for practice makes perfect. The medical school at Loma Linda is to be of the highest order, because those who are in that school have the privilege of maintaining a living connection with the wisest of all physicians, from whom there is communicated knowledge of a superior order, and for the special preparation of those of our youth who have clear convictions of their duty to obtain a medical education that will enable them to pass the examinations required by law of all those who practice as regularly qualified physicians, we are to supply whatever may be required, so that these youth need not be compelled to go to medical schools conducted by men not of our faith. Thus we shall close a door that the enemy would be pleased to have left open, and our young men and young women, whose spiritual interests the Lord desires us to safeguard, will not feel compelled to connect with unbelievers in order to obtain a thorough training along medical lines. Ellen G. White. In the face of this clear, definite counsel, the Committee on Plans hesitated no longer. They promptly brought before the Pacific Union Conference Committee a report favoring the establishment of a denominational medical school at Loma Linda. They recommended that the Union Conference invite the other Union Conferences in North America and the General Conference to unite with them in the establishment, the equipping, and the maintenance of the college, each of these organizations to be represented on the Board of Management. The school was to be maintained by tuition and donations, any annual deficit to be shared equally by the General Conference and the various Union Conferences. These resolutions were discussed fully and freely. Elder I.H. Evans, a vice president of the General Conference, spoke enthusiastically in favor of advancing by faith. He pointed out that for several years many had felt that they ought to have such a school, but they had been hesitant about launching such an enterprise because of the seeming lack of teachers and of money with which to carry it forward. Of his confidence that united action in the field would be assured, he said, "We will obey. When the statement from Sister White is read, I am sure that the majority of our brethren will feel as we feel tonight that the Lord has spoken, and we will obey. Past experiences should strengthen our faith at this time and help us to move forward courageously in heeding the words of counsel which the Lord has given to us through Sister White. We have before us tonight a plain, straightforward statement from Sister White in regard to the establishment of a medical school. There is no guesswork about it. There is no equivocation. There is no false construction that need be put upon these words. The question is, will we follow the counsel given? I can conjure up many reasons why at this time we are ill prepared to establish and operate a medical school. It is not hard for any man to say that we have not the money at hand. Any man need not be very wise to say, we do not know where we shall get medical men trained and qualified to take up this work. But the question is, will we establish this medical school, when the Lord has indicated so plainly our duty? I believe, brethren, if we step forward in the fear of God and make an effort to establish this school, the Lord will help us and make the way clear. Similar words of faith and courage were spoken by Elder G.A. Irwin, Vice President of the General Conference for the North American Division, Elder J.A. Burden, Business Manager of the Loma Linda Sanitarium, Elder E. Andros, President of the Southern California Conference, in which the institution was located, Elder M.C. Wilcox, Editor of the Signs of the Times, Elder R.S. Owen, Instructor in Bible at the College of Medical Evangelists, Dr. S.B.S. Edwards, and others. After these addresses the question was called, and the vote not only of the delegates but of all present was unanimously in favor of the resolutions. In order to make the plan effective, it was necessary that there be agreement and acceptance of similar responsibility by the other Union Conferences and by the General Conference. Would those at a distance be equally enthusiastic as those nearby? Within a few days, Elder A.G. Daniels, President of the General Conference, reported from Michigan, "The members of the General Conference Committee who are here in Battle Creek have accepted the counsel and the decisions arrived at in the Pacific Union Conference. We shall now take hold of this enterprise and do the best we can to assist in carrying it forward. Hearty response and support. When the matter came up for consideration in the union conferences, there was a similar hearty response. Of the action taken in the North Pacific Union, Elder G.A. Irwin wrote to commend the attitude of Elder C.W. Flays, president of the union, and quoted him as saying in substance, "When the Lord spoke as definitely as he had in regard to this school, that should end all discussion with every true Adventist who believed the testimonies. And the thing for us to do now was to plan to follow the light that we had received." Elder Irwin reported that after further discussion, the question was called and put to the delegates first, and received a unanimous vote in the affirmative, and then the whole House was asked to express itself, which was also unanimous. The general enthusiasm aroused in behalf of the establishment of a second denominational medical school bade fair to ensure united action in its behalf during the varying vicissitudes of the institution through the coming years.